Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Jason Logan. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to football. Week one, just about a week away, and there's a lot to be excited for the 2024 NFL season. One thing I am especially excited for is not only do I get to come back every week for 10 minutes and talk shop with you good people, but this season I get to do it with a good buddy of mine and one of the smartest guys in the industry. And that's Todd Furman. Now, if you're not familiar with Todd and everything that he brings to the table, then your gambling days are getting a lot brighter here on the Sharp 600. He is a former odds maker, turned professional sports bettor. He's one of the top betting analysts out there. You could see his smiling face on places like CBS and Fox Sports. And then you could hear that smooth, sultry voice of his, too, on the Bet the Board podcast every week. Todd, I'm not even kidding you, man. I am really, really excited to have you here.
I mean, Jason, after that kind of introduction, all I'm going to do is disappoint our listeners if we don't start the season 14-0 with our best bets and find a way to keep an unblemished record. But I'm really looking forward to doing this. It's a lot of fun. I know you and I go way back to some of my time actually behind the counter at Caesars. So it's nice to be able to do all of this, make all of the viewers and listeners a little bit smarter, and most importantly, have some fun along the way all fall.
Yeah, so not only does Todd bring like great, you're going to get great bets, well thought out, well capped, really educated picks and suggestions, but listen to what the guy says, because his process and the way that he gets there and the way that he puts weight into things, those are things that you can take and you can apply them across other wagers throughout the season. So don't just skip ahead to the picks, like really pay attention to what the guy says. And as someone that's been in this industry for almost 20 years, he is one of the guys that I still learn from by listening.
Now you're making me feel really old, by the way. I mean, well, I'm thinking about it right now in the back of my head. I'm going, I'm in the wrong side of 40 at this point. Yeah. It has been damn near 20 years. I still feel like the young kid. And we used to talk when I was behind the counter and I was in my mid 20s.
Yeah. But now that sports betting is becoming this massive legal betting industry. I mean, we're just hitting our stride here, buddy. There's plenty of tread left on these tires. So just listen to what the guy says, because you will pick up a lot. And that's what I really want. And that's what we wanted bringing him into the Sharp 600, was not only having that great game-to-game and pick-to-pick analyst, but someone that can teach and you know, is to teach a man to fish, those sort of things. So we're going to teach you to fish here on the Sharp 600. Todd, this is the part where you say nice things about me.
Well, I mean, look, you've done a hell of a job in terms of advancing the space in general. I mean, I know we used to communicate all the time, and it was largely through the written word, and to see the kind of platform that you guys have carved out. Look, Covers has more or less been the gold standard from a sports betting standpoint, even before legalization. I mean, I remember meeting a lot of the people I still talk to in the Covers forums before Twitter and some of the advent of the other social media that's out there. So Covers always holds a near and dear spot in my heart. And if you'd have told 16-17-year-old Todd that he was going to be participating on a weekly show on this very fine platform 25 years later in life, I would have laughed and said, you know what, then I've really made it. So being able to join you guys and take full advantage of this is something I'm really looking forward to, no doubt about it.
All right, that makes me warm inside my tummy. And the Covers forum still there, still active, people still in there getting down their bets and going after each other for bad ones. So it's a fantastic place. if you're tired of the rigmarole of gambling Twitter, the Covers forums are still there and going. Before we do get going, though, a reminder too of that, if you like what we're doing here on the Sharp 600, if you're excited to have Todd on board this year, let us know. Rate and review the podcast on whatever platform it is you choose to listen. Give us some feedback. We'll take that. We'll run with it. We'll make the pod better each and every week. So Todd, this is what we do on the Sharp 600. Let's start the clock. All right, as we start things off for NFL 2024, there's always those teams that you have a little vibe about when you enter the season. It's either good or bad. Teams that may be undervalued or overvalued in the market. Play on and fade teams. Todd, I know you've got a kind of an itch when it comes to some of these teams. Give us a play on team. We're talking about ATS play on, a team that could hold value against the spread.
You know, it's always important to come into the season knowing which teams you want to look to try and buy on versus which you're looking to fade. And I don't want to apply the blanket generalization this in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Means that I'm going to be playing on this team for the first 8 to 10 games of the season, hoping to be able to turn a profit. But a team that I think has been lost in the shuffle in the AFC South is the Jacksonville Jaguars. We've expected so much over the years, Jason, of Trevor Lawrence taking that next step, being the franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, now he has the contract that says he's a franchise quarterback. He just doesn't have the wins, losses, losses or stat line to suggest that. And when you look at Jacksonville's early season schedule, it's extremely difficult. They're going to find themselves as a dog in a number of games. And I think this is a team, if their defense can raise its level of play a little bit, some interesting weapons that they added this offseason, most notably, in my opinion, Brian Thomas through the draft. I think the Jags are a team that's flying under the radar, while the Indianapolis Colts, Houston Texans, and even the Tennessee Titans, to some extent, are getting that AFC South buzz.
Yeah, that division's kind of a bag of cats. There's a lot of moving up and down in that division for sure. I'm going to go to the West Coast. I'm going to go to the Seattle Seahawks. This is a team that the market's kind of split on. They have a 7.5 win total, an underdog in 12 of their 17 look-ahead lines, and 7 of those 12 underdog lines, they're getting more than a field goal. So there's plenty of points to play with here. Now, of course, there's a big coaching overhaul in Seattle, and some people look at that as a negative. Pete Carroll's gone. But Mike McDonald coming in is going to jazz up this defense. And then Grubbs on the offense. I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing. And there's a lot of good players, a lot of key pieces on both sides of the football for a ho-hum offense. But there's a lot of really good players there. First 9 weeks of the season for the Seahawks, they're at home 6 times. Lumen Field, one of those rare spots in which home field is actually worth a little more. So I think there's potential to play on Seattle early on, especially with those big underdog spreads. Any fade team, any team that's kind of giving you the heebie-jeebies this year?
You know, it's not going to make me popular in the city that I grew up in the northern suburbs of Chicago, but everyone wants to talk about Caleb Williams having the kind of impact on the Chicago Bears that CJ Stroud did last year as a rookie. And while I can understand that optimism, when you look at some of the weapons he's surrounded by, I mean, you have a couple of veteran receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze poised to be the next breakout star at the wide receiver position when he becomes wide receiver one. The betting market knows this. And when you look at the Bears win total, it opened 7.5. It's now 8.5 shaded over, even some 9s that are popping. You're seeing their weekly numbers reflect some of that. I know they're more than a field goal favorite week one, but I think the number that'll surprise some people, because we get so caught up in looking at week one, if you're looking at the week 2-point spread against the Houston Texans, Houston is barely more than a field goal favorite against the Bears. I think Chicago's overvalued, not just because of Caleb Williams, but a defense that also feasted on a number of lightweights down the stretch. And I think that's stop unit is going to be what holds them back a little bit. So I think the Bears are a team to look to go against early on. We can call it a bit of the de facto hard knocks jinx.
All right. Well, don't let the stars behind you fool you, because I am not in love with my Dallas Cowboys this year. They're a fave in 14 of 17 look ahead lines. And this is a team that's been a great bet over the last 3 seasons, 65%, 33-18 ATS. And a lot of that is because of Dan Quinn's defense and the chaos that it caused and the takeaways, those interceptions, the forced fumbles. Dan Quinn's gone, and they are ripe for regression when it comes to those sort of things, which are difficult to kind of bring from season to season. And then I look at this offense, probably the least talented offense that Dallas has had in a long, long time. They're not scoring 30 points per game. Ooh, we added Dalvin Cook. That's great. What was DeMarco Murray? Was he too busy? Like, what's the deal here? So I am looking to
DeMarco's busy serving a 1-game suspension now on that Oklahoma staff for some recruiting impropriety, unfortunately. Well,
he's been busy. I'm Dallas Cowboys are a team that I am looking to fade this year when available. We'll jump into the futures market. Talking futures at this point in the season is kind of dumb, because a lot of the value has been sucked out of there. But is there anything worth a pull, any buyback from those early smart moves that you could see right now?
Well, you mentioned some of the value being taken out of the market, and one division most notably to kind of piggyback you talking about the Dallas Cowboys as a sell, professional bettors have really gravitated towards buying the Philadelphia Eagles. And what we've seen there is a division number that was right around plus $1.10 on both of those two teams, and Philadelphia has more or less moved into that prohibitive favorite role. I'm on board with that move, but don't want to encourage any of our viewers to grab the worst of the number, because all it takes is an early season loss, and suddenly that price tag may present itself again. When we look elsewhere across the landscape at a lot of these divisions, we've also seen the New York Jets generate a decent amount of buzz, and I think that's as much a sell of the Buffalo Bills. Would I be running to bet the Jets to win the division now as favorites? Probably not. But the great part about NFL futures, and I think all of us who spend 6 months trying to pine for football to come back, tying up our money for extended periods of time, how quickly we forget that a lot of these numbers that you may have missed during the offseason, or even better numbers if they present themselves, will come during September and October. I mean, no greater illustration than what we saw with the Kansas City Chiefs last year to win the Super Bowl. I mean, this was a team that drifted out for 10-11-1 why bother tying up your money for 5 to 6 months if you know or you're confident that one or more of these prices will be available? So for me, you know, don't have much in the way of a futures portfolio, but as I'm adding things throughout the course of the season, no doubt we'll be able to share with our listeners so they can lock in that same price.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure buying back Kansas City is a reminder in my phone every November because they always hit that one hiccup, right? So it's always there. You talk about the AFC East. What about the Dolphins to win this division? Plus 220, they were plus 190. Like you said, a lot of love for the Jets, and that's shifted this market around. You have the questions around Rodgers' durability. You have the Buffalo Bills projected to take a step back. You know, bad for them. And I like what Miami is bringing to the table here. I have them for double-digit wins, and the start of the season, pretty easy. And then as the schedule gets tougher, I see them ironing out the wrinkles on a new defense. Likely to get Bradley Chubb back, which he was a difference maker. And then Jalen Phillips is a guy who's going to start the season, but start it slow. I think he's going to be back in full swing. This could be a dangerous team in the second half of the season when everything comes together. So I like the Dolphins plus 220 to win the AFC East.
You know, it's an interesting team for a lot of the reasons that you outlined. We know how explosive and dynamic they can be offensively. And I think when you look at this team, they're going to be able to provide balance, both throwing the football and running. Odell Beckham Jr., another player that they signed in March, who's going to be on the PUP list. But I think he gives them a little bit of a possession receiver underneath should they want to go in that direction. So I have no qualms about buying the Dolphins. The one thing, you mentioned the schedule getting tougher. Don't be afraid to sell them if the number starts to get completely blown out of whack and you decide you want to back up that initial investment with one of the other two teams in the division. I'm not including the Patriots.
I am guilty of hitting the early cash out button a few times when it comes to futures. And turned out okay for me in those situations. Another market, and one that's really picked up a lot of traction, is the awards market. You've seen a lot of smart guys getting in there. It gives you kind of a hedging situation. Like I said, it gives you those opportunities to click the early cash out button should you want to, you know, bail on there. Any awards props that you like out there right now?
I'll give you two that I've dabbled in, and this is a market that's extremely volatile. The NFL is a true recency bias league where you're going to see these markets swing based on one performance. Took a little bit of Marvin Harrison Jr. as far as offensive rookie of the year. I think Malik Nabers getting the buzz. You can understand why the price has drifted out a little bit on Harrison, given the quarterbacks there, but he is a true number one weapon. It's a team I think that's going to have a somewhat underrated offense with a healthy Kyler Murray, and knowing they're going to be trailing, it'll allow him to accumulate some stats. And Jalen Hurts, looking for him to have a bounce back season. So as MVP, I think that 14-15-1 range, you get an adult in the room with Kellen Moore. And we saw that hitch in the giddy up from Hurts last year. Yeah. I think his legs and his arms, even without Jason Kelce anchoring that offensive line, keeps him in the thick of things. So I'll take a shot there with Hurts.
I knew sticking to the script here was going to be tough for us. And we're going to run a little long today because we're both talkers. Talkers, right? And we'll fine tune this as the season goes. I'll get in the MVP pick. Then we will get to the 2-minute drill. How about Jared Goff for MVP 2024? Kind of a guy.
I mean, bullish that you can't see the shirt there, but there we got the little old school Lions logo to try and make sure we're showing our proper respects.
A guy that just doesn't get his flowers, yet he's always like, you know, top 10 in terms of passing touchdowns, passing yard. Like, he's up there, and he has this amazing offense around him, which I think is going to be even better this season. This is a team that is in favorite in like 13 of 17 games, favorite in 6 of the first 7 games. I think Jared Goff is going to jump up the board with every Detroit win. Again, another maybe late season cash out option, but at plus 2,500, Jared Goff leading quarterback for the best team in the NFC, potentially. I think he's worth the squeeze and just not as sexy as some of those other QB names on the board, but the numbers are right there. All right, 2-minute drill time, Todd. Let's leave the people with some winning bets here to make before week one turns around. What do you got first?
So I'll start in the player prop market, and I'm going to go under the rushing total for Rashad White. I know he was a little bit of an accumulator last year as a runner and a receiver, but Dave Canales is gone as offensive coordinator there in Tampa. Liam Cohen steps in. They drafted Bucky Irving, who I think will eat into some of that carry share. And when you look at Rashad White, in my opinion, he's better as a receiver than as a runner. I am more than happy, Jason, to go under his rushing total in the low 800s.
All right. I'm going to go Mikey Sanderstil is the rookie DB to win Defensive Rookie of the Year in Washington, plus 5,000. This is a chaos-causing guy. This is a guy who had interceptions, pick sixes at Michigan. What does Dan Quinn do? He makes those guys in the secondary into dangerous weapons. And then there's a lot of kind of bad quarterbacks or INT-prone quarterbacks coming along the way. You got Mayfield and Jones and Watson, Young, Wilson or Fields, Will Levis. Dak even has those INTs. I think Sanderstil can make a splash with those big plays and win Rookie of the Year on defense.
Spoken like a Cowboys fan who expects the Deron Bland impact there. One more for you. I'm going to take the 49ers under 11.5 wins. I know it's oftentimes buy the rumor, sell the news, but I think there are legitimate reasons for concern in the Bay Area. This team could easily go 11-6 and still not exceed oddsmakers' expectations. It's not an overly deep roster. Their schedule gets to be an absolute cluster late in the year when they're working at a rest disadvantage. So I am going to sell the Super Bowl runner-ups and take them under 11.5 wins.
All right, I'm going to go Josh Allen. There's another big one, plus 1,200. Most passing touchdowns. This is the guy who threw 29 touchdowns last year. He ran in 15, which is a big jump from what he did the last 2 years, and I expect a bit of regression on the ground from him. And he has this big, bad receiving core. You got two big tight ends. You got 6 foot four Keon Coleman, 6 foot four MVS. You got a 6 foot Shakir. Big targets, jump ball options. And I think the Bills' defense takes a step back, so it's going to kind of line up for more shootouts. So Josh Allen to lead the league in touchdown passes, plus 1,200. Well, there it is. The first episode of the Sharp 600 for the 2024 NFL season underway. Todd, good job. Good job on your rookie showing. If you've ever been called a rookie.
If this was NASCAR, I'd have the rookie stripe on the back of my car so the other drivers could watch out. I'm going to gradually prove my worth and earn everyone's respect on this fine program. But looking forward to it. I know a lot of people, Jason, we know, clamor for the start of football season. For you and I, it's always front and center. And now it gets to take center stage as we inch ever so close to the opening night kickoff.
That's right, man. Well, like I said at the start, I really do appreciate you coming on this year. I'm really, really excited to sit here and do this with you every single week. This is a joy. So a big thank you, and a big thank you to Dell. A big thank you to you for listening. A reminder too, if you like what we're doing on the Sharp 600, let us know. Rate, review the podcast, leave those comments. We appreciate those. Todd and myself are going to be back next week. We're going to get ready for week one, that big Thursday night kickoff, Chiefs and Ravens. Until then, enjoy those last days of summer, and best of luck with your bets.